Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Mike Rago. I'm a security evangelist with MobileIron. And in today's HelpNet Security podcast, we're going to talk about mobile data leakage. So in terms of mobile data leakage, when we took a look at the attack vectors that are going on in the mobile world, it's certainly related to apps, content, and web. And when we look at those three data usage methods, we take a look at what types of attack vectors could impact that and lead to some form of data leakage on the mobile device. So in terms of some of the forms of data leakage that we commonly see with a lot of our customers that are trying to secure their environments, initially are related to email. So can somebody forward an email? What about attachments that come along with that email? So definitely ensuring a process and methodology around securing that is key. Whether you go with a containerized approach or taking a look at some form of attachment security or attachment encryption. There's also attachments related to what are they going to open the attachment in. For example, we have some people or some customers that are trying to determine how do we want people to share content, how do we want people to upload content to the corporate directory, but maybe not upload it to things like Dropbox. So in terms of looking at that methodology, looking at those behaviors, we model out those various behaviors in terms of how people can share content or not share content. So in looking at additional attack vectors, we also took a look at applications. So in today's corporate world and in the mobile world, we see more and more companies using a variety of public applications as well as their in-house apps. They're certainly looking for methods for securing those, both for the data at rest and the data in transit. So in terms of looking at the attack vectors related to public apps, people can edit documents, they can upload them to cloud services and cloud applications and cloud web applications. So in terms of looking those attack vectors, we said, hey, we want to be able to control more of the user behavior related to the corporate data. And in doing that, create a corporate persona separate from the personal persona on the device. We don't want to touch their personal pictures, their personal email, their personal text messages, or anything like that. But when it comes to the corporate data, provide a secure mechanism in which they can get their job done in terms of sharing the content in the appropriate ways, but also locking down the rest of the behaviors to prohibit them from maybe forwarding it to their personal email, opening an attachment they could upload to Dropbox. And in terms of the application behaviors, also allow that application to speak to other applications that are permitted, while at the same time blacklisting the rest of the applications. So maybe they can edit a document in one application, but then upload it or share it via SharePoint in another application and controlling those behaviors on the device, whether it's iOS, Android, and others. When it comes to web, there's also, you know, typically a web browser on all these mobile devices, and what types of content are people accessing? Certainly they're playing games, they're downloading a variety of different content, or viewing that content online. Does it make sense to use the native browser that comes with iOS or Android or others, or does it make sense for the corporate data to maybe use a more secure browser that limits a lot of that type of data exposure potentially? So in a native browser, they may access a gaming site, but if there's a JavaScript vulnerability or something else, that may harvest information from the browser, harvest information from cache within the browser, but maybe with a secure browser that's more containerized, not allow those behaviors to occur, or potentially even say, you can use your personal browser for your gaming and all your fun stuff, and then use the secure browser for accessing corporate content and corporate content only, and provide that sort of separation between the two. So when we take a look at data at rest and data in transit, in terms of data at rest on the device, create that corporate persona, potentially some form of containerization with a lot of DLP controls to control a lot of those behaviors. When we take a look at data in transit, certainly with the recent Apple vulnerability and subsequent patching, there certainly can be the potential for man-in-the-middle attacks. So what do we do to prevent data leakage related to that? Well, In terms of securing that, we always recommend mutual authentication, leveraging certificates. So when you're going to create some form of tunneling or secure communications back to corporate or other wide area network locations, traditionally you could use a VPN with certificates, including a client certificate. Or alternatively, you could use an application tunnel and specifically say, not all the apps on my device are allowed to access the corporate network, but only the apps that I've permitted. Secondly, provide certificate-based authentication to those resources. So even if a man-in-the-middle attack was to occur and they present a bogus certificate to the end user's client certificate doesn't have a mathematical relationship or part of that algorithm related to that specific self-signed bogus certificate. As a result, when they go to connect, they're alerted to the fact that, hey, you're not connecting to the resource you thought you were connecting to. And then secondly, not permitting the connection to occur, thus avoiding any of that data being transferred in transit, you know, between the application and the corporate network. In addition, related to data in transit is also the ability to potentially encrypt sensitive attachments. So we always recommend that customers leverage that form of technology in transferring a sensitive document that you may be uploading or downloading to the device. And then once that's downloaded to the device, ensure that that operates in its own separate encrypted container. So whether that's Android or iOS, define that such that even if the device was to become jailbroken or rooted, have some type of auto-quarantine capabilities as well. So despite the fact that we have all these data leakage controls, we additionally want to have the countermeasures in terms of quarantine. So we always recommend to our customers some form of quarantine where if I identify that a device has been jailbroken or rooted, have some form of a mechanism that detects that, even offline, and then cleanses the container of any sensitive data to either mitigate or prevent any form of data exposure in that form as well. So at the end of the day, we're looking to secure apps, content, and web, and looking at your methodology in approaching that, how do I bring that all together? So in bringing that all together, it's certainly looking at those three vectors, looking at the attack vectors related to apps, content, and web, and how you might potentially have exposures, and leveraging a lot of what we discussed today in terms of the podcast for locking that down.